watched you on Saturday night. It was average. But what I wanted to talk to you about, some of the notes that you and Damian brought to the front. We'll start with Yuri Hudler. You mentioned that the Flames are canvassing the league, but are also being canvassed themselves. How would you, do you have any way of knowing whether it's the Flames shopping or the Flames listening for Yuri Hudler offers?
You know what? I try not to get too caught up in the wording. Put it this way. I think for the right price, he can be had. Let's look at it that way. You look at their situation for a while now. We've been hearing, like, remember last year at the draft, there were the rumors that they would take Cam Ward if Carolina would include their first round pick. That's kind of the way Calgary's been looking for the last couple of years, but I guess that's changed now. It's kind of a situation where, they're looking at their roster. They know they've got to handle Giordano this year. They've got to handle Gaudreau and Monahan soon. And they're just saying to everybody, we're not going to jeopardize our ability to do that. And you're looking at Hudler. He's got one more year. He just had a fantastic season, the best of his career. And I wonder if they're kind of looking at it and saying, we're not going to be able to keep him. And they're kind of getting out in front of that, so it's not something where they potentially lose him for nothing. That's what I think is going on.
So what does it take to say, okay, that's there's the deal. We'll call Yuri and get us a flight. I mean, what kind of deal are they looking for?
You know, that guys wouldn't tell me that, and I think it's more because people have been sort of gauging his availability, and I'm not sure that they've gone that far down the road yet. The one thing I was told was that when Hudler's name came up, the answer was, you're going to have to make it worth our while. So I get the sense, Ryan, it's not going to be cheap.
What are you buying when you buy Yuri Hudler? Obviously, and what I mean is, do teams take the career year and the 31 goals and all of that? Do they feel like that's the type of a player he is? There's enough a body of work there, but he's obviously just coming off his best year in the NHL. Is he a top line guy? Is he a support guy? Or does it really matter when the hit is only $4 million?
Well, you know, with a $4 million cap hit, I think you're looking at a guy and you're saying, I'll take that. I think the big question is going to be, what's the next number? I mean, he's in his early 30s, and historically, you look at guys that age, and their offense doesn't go up. It's around the age of 31 that, you know, guys' offense starts to go down. I think you're looking at him and you're saying, I don't think he's going to lead the NHL in even strength points again like he did this year with 60. But you're looking at him and you're looking at offense. You know, he had a great year. The most interesting thing to me about it, guys, is, you know, he had a lot of chemistry, obviously, with Gaudreau on and off the ice. And so, you know, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, you know, if Yuri Hudler is not a Flame next year, you know, how will that affect Gaudreau at all? I think Gaudreau will be fine. He's obviously a very talented player, and I'm not saying that, you know, Yuri Hudler carried him to new heights, but they obviously had a good chemistry together, and that would be the only thing I would be concerned about from Calgary's point of view. But I think you'd look at last year as a career year. You probably don't expect him to do that again, but you do see a player who's very skilled in a league now. You're looking at Tampa. You're looking at Tyler Johnson and how he has been their best player for a lot of the playoffs until now he got hurt. And you're saying, you know what? Guys like that can be successful in this league now, and Hudler's in that mold. It's just that he's a little bit older.
And you mentioned that the Flames, beyond that, are busily working the phones, as most teams are. But certainly, I think when you have that many picks as the Flames do through rounds 1, 2, and whatnot, you're going to see how you can best maximize those assets.
Yeah.
I also wonder too, for a guy like Brad Treliving, and I don't think, I mean, they go you go back a year ago, they did their free agency ads with old what's his name in the
Raymond
blue line
in
there.
England.
Then there's the Schlemko addition and the trading away of Curtis Glencross. But I would think now a year on the job, you know, is he maybe getting a little antsy? Would he like to maybe be a little bit more aggressive? Not making a deal to make a deal, but I would think that, yeah, I want to do something as the GM here.
Well, I think he's got a reputation now around the league as a guy who really likes to know what's going on. A couple guys told me that Calgary was being really aggressive, you know, one of the things I like to ask is, you know, what does that mean? Not only am I interested in the fact that they are that way, I like to know, you know, what does it mean when they're saying a guy's aggressive? And, you know, what guys were telling me is he's someone who likes to know, who makes it a point of knowing, you know, everything that's going on. And, you know, not only with his team, but what else is out there. And when I broke into the business, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays was Gord Ashe. And I remember reading an article once, Peter Gammons, who's one of the top baseball writers, wrote that there were four GMs in baseball that really everything goes through, because they're the most active on the phones. They're the ones who like to start conversations. And one was Gord Ashe. And I remember showing him that after I saw it, and we had a conversation about it. And he said to me that he thought it was his responsibility not only to know what was up with his team, but what was up with every other team. And he said he took it personally. He learned from Pat Gillick that there should never be a trade that happens, not only with your team, but another team, where you say, boy, I didn't know that was going on. Pat Gillick used to say to him that it's a failure if you have a trade that goes out there and you don't know it's coming, because you should be knowing who's available and who's not. And I think Brad Treliving is from the same mold. I think he is really somebody who likes to see, okay, what's out there, and what's happening with us, what's happening with other teams, who's available, who isn't available, and I think that's kind of what he does. Now, as part of being aggressive right now, if you look at Calgary this year, you know, obviously you guys had a really good season, really talented team, a lot of skill. I think, you know, Vancouver was a good matchup for Calgary because they weren't a team that was built to push anybody around. Anaheim sure was. And I think what he's looking at there is he's saying, we've got a lot of skilled guys. We need a bit of power that can play with it. And, you know, what I think about that is they're not just looking for a big, strong guy, but they're looking for a stronger guy who can play and keep up with your skill guys. And I think that's what he's looking for right now. And, oh, I do believe, you know, we've talked about Kessel, too. I can tell you that I heard yesterday that Calgary will not be doing a Kessel deal. It would be a big surprise if they did it.
Everything you described when you said what they want regarding the Anaheim series loss, doesn't that scream Milan Lucic?
Yeah, you know, I think he's a guy like that. You know, and I'm going to throw another name at you, and I know this is going to start a lot of stuff, and I'm going to say I don't think necessarily he's the guy, but I'm saying he's the type of guy. Is, you know, depending on what St. Louis decides to do with David Backes, I could see that being the type of player that Calgary might have some interest in. Not saying that they're going to go out and get David Backes, but he's the type of player they're looking at. To me, the biggest question about Lucic is, I had a conversation with Don Sweeney about him, and Sweeney called him a foundational player. And don't forget that when Peter Chiarelli was fired, one of the things that Cam Neely talked about is, we have to get back to being the Bruins. Like, that is who Milan Lucic is. I'm not sure what they are going to do with him. The biggest question, he had such a down year last year, a year where he was not himself. You're acquiring, if you go out and get Milan Lucic now, you're going out and getting a guy who's at $6 million coming off a down year, and he's a free agent after next year. I'd be very curious. I think Boston is having a lot of debate about, you know, do we do a contract or do we just let him come back next year, and if he has a great year, we've got to pay even more, Or do we look at a guy whose body is just taking too much and he's not going to be Milan Lucic anymore? To me, Lucic is a really interesting case. I think that's a great example, Ryan. I don't know what Boston's thinking there. I think they've got a lot of different ideas in their mind about what to do and what not to do.
Now, sorry, I just want to jump in. I don't want to pin David Backes to you, but I had, no, honest, and because you know what,
every time I come on this show, I get in trouble.
Yeah, I know. St. Louis, they're already frothing for you. No, because I had a discussion with Eric Tkachuk.
Yeah.
And we were talking about TJ Oshie because we've heard his name. And he doubled back to David Backes and thought, here's a guy that is 3 years older. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season that even though he's the captain, he might be the one that is likely to be moved. I would not have guessed that because I, like you, I like David Backes. I think he's the type of player you win with. I guess I'm just a little bit surprised that we're hearing his name as one of the odd men out if the Blues decide to do something.
I just think, you know, with St. Louis, they're going to make a change. And, you know, Backes has been quoted as saying it's insane to think we're not. I think there's a couple of things that come down there. Number one, who's the player they can get the most for? That's one question. You know, Backes has a no-move clause. Is he willing to go to any place in particular, whether it's Calgary or somewhere else? I just think that Doug Armstrong has a lot of balls in the air. And, you know, the number one thing he's waiting for is what's Tarasenko's number, okay? So after the – and the number two thing he's looking at is he's turning his team over to Tarasenko and Schwartz and guys like that up front. You know, how are other guys going to handle that? So, and number three, he's going to have to move one or two of Backes, Oshie, Berglund, maybe Steen, but I doubt it. And then, you know, you're kind of looking at it and saying, A, what's the best deal I can make? And B, what's this going to mean for my cap as the years go on? You know, Backes is getting close to needing a new deal. You know, and you know, I'll say this. Sometimes I wonder if a player looks at the situation and says, and this is for, let's look at Backes. Let's just say that he sees the writing on the wall in St. Louis and says, oh boy, it's going to be the other guy's team now, and I'm heading towards needing a new contract, and I'm not going to play in the same situations. And let's say, for argument's sake, you know, Doug Armstrong says to him, look, Calgary's interested. You can go there, and you're going to play in a top role, maybe in a better role than you're going to play here. Sometimes guys look at that and say, you know what, I'm going to be playing for a contract. That's not a bad thing for me. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, I can see a situation where that could happen.
He and Laterra both owed new contracts at the end of the season. It's almost Hudler territory. He's $4.5 million. He's 31 and is a UFA next summer. It's very similar.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about, and so there you go. I mean, the thing about Backes is, you know, if you're getting him, you're looking at a guy who you're saying, okay, we need you to run over some people. And, you know, he's a guy who's done that before in his career. And, you know, I think the one thing I know, and I know this, is that Doug Armstrong is sensitive to Backes because he's his captain. And I know in the past, you know, he's gone to Backes before and said, don't worry about this, or if you hear this, we're not at that point yet. So I know he feels a certain amount of responsibility to Backes because he is his captain, and I wonder how that affects all of this, if at all. But some one of those St. Louis veterans, at least, is going to be going. It's just a matter of who, where, and what the offer is.
A couple of things. Anthony Mantha's name came up with your guys' discussion. He has fallen out of favor, it seems, in Detroit.
Part of me wonders if this is a bit of a, you know, kick to the tush. If, you know, obviously the Red Wings were very disappointed in him this year. But it's not like Detroit to totally give up on a young player. You know, if you're a Red Wing, you're going to stay in the American Hockey League for a few years before you get a sniff of the NHL. Although Dylan Larkin may end up being an exception to that. The fact is that I think they were disappointed in Mantha's year. You know, Damien gets full credit. He's the one who uncovered that. But when I texted a couple other teams and said, you know, are you hearing anything on Mantha? Like, one of them in particular was like, what, really? And so I think Detroit's going to get calls on him. I'm just not 100% convinced that it's either we're going to trade him or we just want to give this guy a kick so he understands that we weren't happy with year number one. They're looking for a defenseman with some edge. You know, they feel that, you know, Cronwall's getting a bit up there in years, and if you look at all their other prospects, they've got a lot of them, but they're all kind of the same player. I think they'd like somebody who could knock some people over.
And finally, the New York Rangers, they've now had some time for to exhale and take a look. We know Martin St. Louis is unrestricted. Unlikely, yeah. I would guess, that they bring him back. Where are they with Rick Nash?
I will check in on that again this week. I think that Nash kind of looked at that as maybe a bit of a shot across the bow. He's going from a complete no-move clause to some kind of modified no-trade clause on July 1st. To me, the most interesting thing about that is, yes, he's carrying a big number, Dean, but he scored 42 goals in the regular season. If you ask any coach right now, what's the hardest thing about the NHL is getting into the playoffs. Never mind winning the Stanley Cup, it's getting in. Boy, the New York Rangers without those 42 goals, you know, I'd be very curious to see what the deal is going to be there. The team I think to watch in something like that is a team like Buffalo. They already went out and they got Evander Kane. I could see them being interested in a player like Nash too. Tim's a bit aggressive that way, but again, I'm not 100% convinced that one's going to happen. I think his name is out there because they want teams to call them and say, okay, if we want to do Nash, what's it going to take? But he has some control over the situation.
What does it mean for Marty if the Rangers aren't interested? That was a big move by him in Tampa to request it. Seems like he really wanted to be in New York.
I'm going to reach out to him this week and see. When he got traded from Tampa, he made it very clear he wanted to go to New York and only New York. So if they're not interested, and I believe that story that came out yesterday is true, I think they're looking at it and saying they're going to have to move on for cap reasons unless Marty's really willing to take a low number. He's going to have it to make a choice. Is there anywhere else he wants to play? I kind of wonder if he would be interested in New Jersey. And the reason I wonder that is, New Jersey's a team that's really light up front. They could probably get him for a decent number on a one-year deal and maybe trade him at the deadline if he has a good year and gets some more assets. But that's purely me speculating that. But I do think St. Louis is going to make a decision. He have to make a decision, Ryan. He's one of the most proud guys I've ever come across. I have great respect for him and everything he's accomplished in his career, and I know his pride. I would think after a year like this and a playoffs like this, as frustrating as it was, he would be very emotional. He would be very hurt that he wasn't able to contribute more. And, I think it's going to be a very hard decision for him on what to do next year.
Well, we've gotten a lot out of you. I guess just before we close, is there anything else that you're keeping an eye on? Like you say, you'll make your calls as you do, but anything else you're monitoring?
Well, one of the ones obviously is Carolina. And, the one thing I gleaned out of that whole situation this weekend is, Eric Staal and Cam Ward, like if the Carolina Hurricanes are kind of hoping to get that sorted out by the draft, I'm not sure it's going to be. I understand that Staal and Ward both want to stay. I think that the two sides have talked about the possibility of 3 to 4 year extensions, but obviously it comes down to the number. Now, Eric Staal's current cap hit is 825. Ward's, I believe, is 6.3. My expectation is that the Hurricanes have kind of told them we'd like those to come down. And my guess is they're willing to do it. I think they know it won't be at those numbers. But the question is where. And, both those guys have no move clauses. They kind of control the situation. And Ron Francis, when I asked him on Saturday, said, I said, if you ask them if there are a list of teams you'll go to if we get to that point, and he said, we're not at that point. So he did say there was going to be a bit more communication over the next couple of weeks, but I'm not sure we're going to see any resolution of this by the time the draft comes around. The one guy I'm curious about in Carolina is Skinner. You know, he does not have protection. And, you know, when Jim Rutherford was the GM there, he considered moving him at least once. Obviously, it never happened, but they considered it. So, you know, I'm kind of wondering if, you know, they've got to break up some things there. And, you know, I wonder what kind of, if there's teams out there who would have interest in him.
Well, I'm going to go to work on my Flames proposal now.
Oh, the Jiri Hudler, Jeff Skinner. But yeah, the thing is, I'm not sure if Skinner is the fit. Like, again, he's a skilled, smallish guy. I'm not sure that that's kind of what they're looking for. And also, if you look at his cap number, you know, he's on a pretty big deal. You know, to me, that screams is the kind of trade, Dean, that Calgary would not make because it will affect their ability to do other business. But I always worry about saying things like that and then hanging up the phone and somebody saying, oh, you know what, Calgary just traded for Jeff Skinner. Based on what I know about the Flames, that one would surprise me.
Because a guy, 23 years old, has a 20 goals, 31 goals, even last year when he was no good, had 18 and 77.
But it's a big number. He's at what, 6?
5.725 until 2019. That's
that's going to affect your ability to do guys, to handle guys. If you're going to trade for a guy like Skinner who's making 5.7, what are you going to give Monahan? What are you going to give Goudreau? Like you know, it's going to be a pretty big number for Giordano, and I think you have to think that, you know, are you considering bridges for Monahan and Goudreau, or are you talking big time extensions? Like, I think it could be B. Like, you know, depending on what the numbers want. Like, to me, Sean Monahan is a guy, especially, you're not going to say, okay, we want you to do the PK Subban bridge deal. I think you might want to do like a big one. And he's had a phenomenal start to his NHL career. And boy, ask Arizona how hard centers are to find. That's going to be an interesting negotiation.
We'll let you go, Elliot. Kept you a little bit longer. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Have a great week, guys.
You too.